So let's call the meeting to order and welcome to everyone. This is a meeting of the OOR OntoHub Gatekeeper API hackathon session, Tuesday, June 25th, 2013. And who's going to take notes?
I will let one of you to decide.
I'd be happy to do that. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. We can also try to capture all the important things on the chat.
Right. So everyone should try to capture what they say on the chat as we go along. Okay, then for the agenda today, the intention was that we would be continuing what happened at the hackathon session at the Ontology Summit. So that means we want to continue working on the API that combines OOR, OntoHub, and well, at the time, it was also OOPS. Is there any representative here from OOPS today?
I don't think we're doing OOPS anymore. So today's focus is to finalize the OR OntoHub and Gatekeeper APIs. Ken, you might have missed. Were you at the last strategy meeting?
Yes, I was, but I didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't recall that we.
Right. I think you missed the last one. Yeah, and we concluded that we wanted to focus on completing the API, completing the metadata, and then and there was a third thing, and I forgot. Three things that we wanted to complete imminently and then move on to building up the content.
Right. So let's take a look. The basic API is in the Google Docs. So is everybody looking at that? I noticed that there are currently, what, 5 people? On the Google Docs?
Yeah, it's on purple number 3U03.
Yes, but on Google Docs, the people show up as animals. And unless you have, okay, Till, you're in there as yourself. But then there's a bat, a monkey, a manatee, a penguin, an otter, and a rhino. So. Seem to be more people on the Google Docs than they're at this meeting.
Is there any chance that someone can put the Google Docs URL on the chat room?
If you're looking at the meeting page, it's under the it's right next to the purple number called 3U03. I'll put that on the chat room as well.
No, I can do that. It's no problem. So, and it's in the chat. But it seems like there are many other people on the Google Docs as well. Now, Till, perhaps you could give us an idea of where we sit with respect to the development of this API. Still?
Yeah, oh, sorry, I muted myself. So you see this big picture there,
yes.
Which is basically an overall architecture that is somehow between OntoHub and OR. So there are some very easy services like parsing and static analysis, which are parsing is also there at the OWL API that we just can parse ontologies. and get some syntax tree back. And then there is, on the right-hand side, so you see various forms of inference, local inference, distributed inference. Then we have presentation, evaluation, federation. Federation is quite important. This is also kind of, federation and general. So general API for creating, reading, updating, deleting. So the usual crutch stuff for ontologies and more. So I would suggest that we start with federation in general. It's also the first section of the document then. And there we have a lot of methods, service methods listed, sometimes also with kind of types there. It's all still quite informal. We at some point should agree on a formalism where to put all this. And we have the first thing is logic services. This goes beyond former APIs. That's also an API for KB a bit, that some kind of meta information about which languages are supported. And on the next page, you see the ontology services, which are basically at the core of the API. And there we have taken a mixture of things that are in BioPortal. We have abstracted them to any ontology language, so removed specific references to OWL and abstracted that. And we have also looked at the OR API. And there you see kind of the differences. So this blue is what is formalized in OR service and pink not formalized. Yeah. And somehow the task would be to unify this. What do we want there? And has there been some deliberate choice to not formalize certain things in OR service, or should we just include these things and regard this as an omission in OR service?
May I find out who the anonymous pumpkin is? Person moving the cursor just now. That you can.
There's several cursors. Each person has their own cursor.
Right. But who is anonymous pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
anonymous pumpkin. Don't worry.
Right, so this looks like we definitely want to include some additional services that are not now provided by the OR instance. It seems to me that all of these are certainly doable. I noticed you mentioned some of them are derived.
No, I don't think so. But
it says derived,
I didn't mention this, but maybe some of are derived. But we didn't have the goal of providing a minimal set of services. Although I think it's quite orthogonal. There are only few derived methods. Should we aim at a minimal set? And anything that is derived is then to be implemented in terms of the minimal set?
That's a good point. Typically, what you do is have a you have a reference implementation that simply has the, you know, it shows how the derived ones would normally be derived from the others.
Yeah.
In reference implementation.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't require that every implementation actually do it that way. So I think it'll be good, I personally think it'll be good to have all of the methods in the API, and then those that are derived would just be, as I say, just in the reference implementation would show how they would be derived.
Okay, I try to capture this directly in the Google Doc at the start of the...
Ken, you can capture that the idea onto the chat, and then the particular action could be captured on the Google Doc. And I just wanted everyone to know Oliver is on the call, and I believe Todd Schneider just joined us on the phone as well. And Oliver probably already know, but for Todd, we are all looking at the Google Doc and the link to it, the tiny URL link is on the chat.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, Joe, you got that?
Yeah. So okay, and then important maybe to capture in the chat. So we will include also the methods from BioPortal that are not in the OR service.
I hope. Well, you might also mention that we do want all of the methods to be general. You don't want them to be specific to any kind of ontology framework.
Yeah.
Because it is the case for a lot of the methods.
Okay, so if we just look at the ontology services section, which is quite important, I think, which is on page 2
mm-hmm.
and 3, and a bit is also on page 4, do you think that this is a good selection of methods? Should something be added or deleted?
Why do you have these qualifiers? I'm looking at this first one. List all ontology latest versions.
That's basically taken from BioPortal.
Okay.
So
well, I would think that the version would be a parameter to this method. You just want to have a specialized method for getting the latest? I mean, that could be a default parameter.
Yeah, so I mean, you cannot, if you list all ontologies, then typically the versions will greatly vary. But you could have a parameter, say, latest versions. I think what this method gives you back is a list of pairs, basically ontology and version number. And then you could say, okay, I don't want the version number, I omit that. Or what would be the parameterization be?
What are you getting at, Todd?
Well, I'm looking at the method name. appears to include this parameter of the version.
No, no, that's not what it means.
Ah, okay.
In practice, when you ask for a list of all the ontologies, what you want is, you don't want a list of every ontology with its versions. In other words, for one particular ontology, you'd see 50 versions, and for another one, you'd see 20,
yeah,
and so on. You just want the most recent.
Right, of course.
For each of the ontologies, and that's what this is saying. Give me a list of all of the ontologies, and for each one, just show me the latest.
Well, I would think that again, the version is a parameter in the call, and latest is sort of a default value.
No, this is asking for all ontologies.
Oh, I know. But
each
again,
one has its own version ID. Each ontology has an identifier, and each ontology version has its own identifier. Version, it listed up there, version ID.
Yeah, so it's not possible to pass a specific version to this method because it gives back all the ontologies, and all the ontologies will, typically have all kinds of different versions, and you cannot just pass one version to this method. You can pass qualifiers like give me all latest versions or all first versions or all second versions or whatever, or all versions.
I guess I was assuming there was going to be some sort of common metadata for all the ontologies that would be available. And in so doing, then your version identifier is obfuscated, if you like, relative to the OOR or whichever infrastructure metadata. Certainly, there is a need to a capability that you only want to pull back the latest ontologies if you're going across a large swath of them.
Right, that's what this is going to do.
So right, and latest is a case that it's sent on its own.
Say again, Peter?
Yeah, this latest is, I can have a version 1.0, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.5, and then I can have latest. And today, latest is 1.5. Tomorrow, latest may be 1.6. So having an API for all the latest versions, it's, I guess, a good call.
Okay.
So where is the ontology metadata? How is it derived? And I get ontology latest version metadata service.
I would usually rely more closely on a date timestamp than a version number. They should be closely correlated, but you never know.
Yeah, you can definitely have a method which is actually not here that gets you versions if you pass a date or time. But generally the versions are not date timestamps. So that's basically taken from BioPortal, and we want to be somehow compatible with BioPortal, and I have posted a link in the chat to the BioPortal API. And the BioPortal practice is to have version IDs. And then I think that it makes sense to follow that and not to come up with a, say, version scheme that is only based on timestamps.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I understand the value of having the version IDs. Hold over from software, and it makes sense.
Yeah, but you're right. We could have a method the version that was the current version for a given timestamp. for a given time point, say. Would that make sense?
No, I would think if we're going to follow this constraint of the version identification or version IDs, then the onus is on the contributors to ensure that their versioning number is sufficiently correlated with date timestamps.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if they want to make changes to a particular version and not increment the version number, okay, that's their choice. You know, sometimes you have to make a minor change and it's really not, it sufficiently creates a sufficient difference to incur or invoke a version change number, an increment in the version change. Or if you really want to get at absurd and have a huge range of number of digits for your version number, you know, like IPv6 addresses or something, you could do that. Depends how anal you want to be or what the requirements are to maintain the configuration management to the level of detail for your particular project.
Mm. Well, just to complicate things a little more, unfortunately.
Thank you.
As we get into the gatekeeping aspect, there are certainly cases where an artifact like an ontology would go into, you would have a version which is not yet sort of fully released. So you're kind of like a working version, and that may be the latest, but it's not the latest released version.
Back to the date timestamp concern again, then.
Well, no. I mean, this is where you actually have a workflow in which, you know, these artifacts are being worked on, and certain individuals will be interested in the versions that have other characteristics than just the latest,
right?
The latest release to the latest. Working draft, you know, things like that.
So,
and certain individuals might not even have access to some of these versions.
So do we need a distinguisher that distinguishes something as a working draft? Some identification?
I think putting that into the API might be really just needlessly complicating it.
Well, again, that's why I would think it would be a parameter to the method call that goes to find things or get things for you.
So one idea would be to use branching. So in OntoHub, we want to base the repository engine on Git. You could equally use Subversion, and both repository engines have branching. So then you could, and with this you could say, I want to have the latest version on the master branch, or I want to have the latest version on the draft branch. Or you could say, get me all branches. Then you can have a list and you see, aha, there's the master and the draft branch. And perhaps some
yes, I agree with that. I think most definitely. I mean, the people who do those repositories have already done a lot of work before us, so we should just learn. I mean, and use the bits that work. Can I ask a different question?
Hey, could we stay with this topic a while?
Okay.
So then I would so one advantage of doing this via Git or SVN is that you also automatically you can have different access rights on these different branches. So that what Ken mentioned, that maybe the non-released draft is not accessible to everyone. But then I would suggest that we actually say add methods for accessing these branches and the latest version for a branch and so on into the API, if you don't mind.
Is it possible just to incorporate an existing API, say, for Git?
Yeah, maybe.
Rather than try to invent our own?
Yeah, sure. I will have a look and then make some suggestion. And then we have repositories. So then we basically have two new notions here, namely repositories and branches. And everything is relative to that. So you select a certain repository and get on all ontologies there from the master branch, say. Of course, you could also say, give me all ontologies of all repositories. Okay, but Peter, then I'm back to your question.
Right. The point is, while we are using some of the things that are offered in repositories, like Subversion and Git, there has always been a notion that dealing with ontologies are different from dealing with a file. Because in a file, we don't have further sort of lower level of granularity that needs to be dealt with in a lot more detail in ontologies than in a file that is hosted on GitHub or in Subversion. So I think we should take note, and we might not just totally depend on Git providing that service.
You mean that ontology versioning is more detailed than the file structure in Git, or vice versa?
Ontology repository should provide much more detail. Because, I mean, you might want to deal with a class. You might want to deal with a module that the file repositories would not have to deal with.
Software repositories do deal with modules.
Okay, they deal with modules.
But there are differences. And
but like classes and attributes, you wouldn't.
Right. I think what we should focus on is what the those features of the ontology repository that are different from actually are orthogonal to the branching and versioning that we kind of get automatically if we use Git or Subversion.
Okay, I want to ask my other question because I think it's an important question. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I believe BioPortal does not offer the capability of providing a URI to an ontology or to, of course, to lower level structures. Is that correct? Because I remember people still say, I mean, go to Perl for the URI of a particular ontology. And I assume on OOR, we are expecting ourselves to provide some persistent URI for a certain ontology and have the proper versioning and governance and whatever to allow sort of that URL to get people to the ontology. Is that correct? Or is it not what we are trying to do? Yes, I am saying this early because I mean that will have a lot to do with our APIs.
Yeah, I fully agree.
So first of all, is it correct that BioPortal does not offer a URI? I mean, if you go to BioPortal and say, I want to look for NCI thesaurus or NCI Metas thesaurus, I mean, they wouldn't return a URI for it. You have to go somewhere else, not in BioPortal.
Well, whether they do or not, the fact is that they use a database identifier for versioning and identification of the ontologies in their API. So that's kind of what matters.
But it's not a capability for the of BioPortal to return a URI.
So what BioPortal does is you can upload an ontology from a local file, which means that then this is stored in the database of BioPortal, or you can load it from a URL, and then new versions are loaded daily from that URL.
Yeah, but the content is maintained by BioPortal, correct?
Yeah. So it's loaded daily by the URL.
But the URL is not persistent because the next time, let's say I loaded this today, it's 103. I load another version tomorrow, it's 106, and the URL will be different. The URL to get to that same ontology will actually be different.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I think so.
Well, Peter, I thought you were asking whether BioPortal could accept a URL URI in place of the actual content and use that as the reference.
No, but that part I know they do.
Oh.
At least, I mean, they do know, or they don't accept, but I mean, they that's part of the metadata to tell people where to find it. That is a piece of metadata.
Yes, that's true.
Maybe that's how we want to deal with it. I don't know. I mean, that's probably not even a good way to deal with it.
No, I would say we should do it differently. So in OntoHub, we have developed the following concept that each ontology should have a URI and a ideally, that should follow the linked open data principle that this URI is also the point where you can download the ontology. And this URI should not contain version numbers, and you by default get the latest version. And then the question is how to generate such URIs. And then the idea is that you have these Git or Subversion repositories, and they get a base URI, like, for example, colore.or.net, and then ontologies in that repository are always relative to this base URI. So that's what I would suggest. And this differs from what is there in BioPortal.
Exactly. Yes, I totally agree with that. I think that's great.
Okay, yes, absolutely. And the API for it should use those URIs, not some instance generated database ID.
Oh, but by the way, the three things we agreed that we will work on very quickly are the APIs, the metadata, and then some thoughts on shared UI for the various implementations. Like, I mean, Colore and OntoHub and OOR or SoCop OOR, we hope that there is some agreed upon UI that makes it fairly consistent even when one moves from OntoHub to Colore to OOR Sandbox or OOR Production or something. So those are the three things we agreed at the last meeting that we should work on immediately.
Did you put that in the chat? Can you put that in the chat, Peter?
Sure. I can put a link to the last meeting too. Yeah. Let me do that.
Yeah, just make a quick link.
Yeah.
So, getting back to the API, if we take these two principles, the linked open data principles, and the idea that we want to make use of existing APIs for repositories, then what is it that is different? What is it that differs? What services are we adding? We do have metadata, and that is different from what you'd have in, say, a software repository. So, for example, you have ontology categories, which I would think that would be part of the metadata. Ontology
yes.
categories, groups. So we have a basic metadata notion, which is unique to an ontology repository. And those are kind of orthogonal. There's the basic repository API, and then there's the metadata.
Yeah, plus we have a richer structure of the ontologies themselves, as Peter said. So each ontology in OWL would have a set of classes, object properties, and so on, and axioms. And here we have, more abstractly, each ontology has a set of symbols, which in turn have kinds, and a set of axioms. And that's not metadata, but that's basically the core data of the ontology.
So what I'm seeing here is the metadata and what would you call those symbols and sentences?
Yeah, symbols and sentences is the core data of the ontology, so that's basically the ontology, if you wish. You have a file where this is represented, but abstractly, I would say an ontology consists of a set of symbols and a set of sentences.
Right. And for OWL, the symbols are the classes and the predicates and the sentences are any axioms you have, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
For common logics, the symbols would be names and sequence markers and the sentence, again, axioms.
So those are the so we're putting those together? I mean, shouldn't we have symbols
separate
from sentences?
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
But
I think this fourth method, get ontology symbols and sentences, would deliver in XML where you have symbols and sentences separated. And then the question is whether we need two separate methods that we can actually get only the symbols and only the sentences.
I think there should be. I mean, if someone wants both of them, what you put on the UI and what the API is don't have to have a close correspondence.
No, I think it's fine to have it together. What we need, though, is to have a single, because, I mean, this has to be an API. There must be a single way of representing this, no matter what your ontology language is.
Right.
Okay. So I think the notion of symbols and sentences covers that.
I think that would be good. And is there a, say, an XML schema data types or something like that, a way of expressing all of, expressing these in a way that's satisfactory for all the different languages?
Yes, we basically have this on OntoHub already.
So you have it already? Okay.
Yeah, we have such an XML representation.
Yeah, if you have it already and you're happy with it, then we should use it.
Yeah.
We should not reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, but admittedly, we could separate it. So currently, we deliver both the symbols and sentences in one XML structure, but we could also say we want to separate that. So we want to have a method where you only get the symbols, another one where you only get the sentences, and maybe a third one where you get both. So that's possible.
Do you see the use cases for those?
Maybe if you have an ontology with very many sentences, then it's perhaps more efficient to only get the symbols first and have a look at the symbols. And
well, Till, if you would get, say, the symbols, what would you get back? Would you just get back this list of symbols with none of the descriptions associated with them, annotations, that is, if there, or would you get back the symbols and any annotations associated with them?
I think all the annotations should be there. I can try to find some XML just to show you what we currently have.
So now, depending on whose view of how you should build ontologies, the symbols maybe just look like random strings. And without any additional annotation, it would be difficult to understand their import.
May I ask a question? When it is returned, are they separable?
Which, Peter?
The symbols and the annotation. If they are separable, then we just have one API and then rely on the application to toss out what it doesn't need. Or maybe you want it for performance reasons. Would you?
Well, again, I think that should be a parameter in the function call. If the application only wants just the symbols without the annotations, well, okay. But if you want both, you can just put that in as an extra parameter. I don't like the idea of tying down methods needlessly.
Well, it sounds like what you want is some mechanism whereby one can basically perform a query on this symbols and sentences, this structure. So, for example, if you just want these symbols, you can just say, you know, the symbols in your query. It is a structure.
What is?
The symbols and sentences is a structure, and you can query it.
It is? Are we presuming too much?
Like, as, for example, you might query it using XSLT or XPath.
So we're going to query the repository with the presumption that the repository has performed this extraction?
Right. Well, the point is, if you... The question is, are we going to have this take place on the server or are we going to have it taking place on the client? If we can just assume the client will handle any such, then we just have one method that simply returns the whole symbols and sentences. And then the client can extract whatever it wants. But that could be prohibitive from a performance standpoint if your ontology is very big.
Mm-hmm. So I would think the APIs should support both possibilities.
Right. What I'm suggesting is instead of having an enormous number of methods for all these different possibilities, we just have a single method that allows one to basically filter what parts of this what is going to be returned. So you just need a kind of a filter mechanism.
No, the parameters that you pass. I mean, that was one of my points I made a few years ago. I thought that we would be more sophisticated in the parameters that could be passed to give us more flexibility so that there'd be few methods, but then the complexity would be pushed onto the parameters. But then the parameters have the ability to be more dynamic, if you like, as we learn more things or discover errors. We could change that without breaking a lot of the APIs. Now, of course, that breaks other things, if you like.
I think you're both talking about the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe CANs is slightly more generalized because I guess you can still add and tweak filters without changing the API.
Right, that is what I'm talking about. A map that simply passes in a filter would handle all of this without having multiple methods.
I'm using the term parameter, and Ken's using the term filter.
Well, the filter would be one parameter.
Yeah, so it's the same, basically. I think that's a good idea to have a fine-tuned mechanism that we can select those data that we want, and we have a full version where everything is there. Just to give you an idea, I paste some XML into the chat, so it's a bit large, but hopefully still manageable. So you have an ontology with a name, a logic or language, and then you have a lot of declarations of symbols, and each symbol has a kind, like class, object, property, or individual, and a name. And then you have the axioms. And indeed, here all the other metadata are missing. So it's just a minimalistic version. But that would be kind of the return object, XML object, of such a method listing all the symbols and axioms of an ontology.
See, now the the metadata isn't much different. Presumably the metadata could also be represented using the same kind of structure and then filtered.
Yeah.
So you can actually bring it down to a single method.
So currently we have get ontology symbols and sentences. That should be now extended to get ontology symbols, sentences, and metadata. And then we have a filtering parameter that we have a fine-grained control or which portion of those three things we want to have.
Till?
Yes?
I meant to ask you, on some of these method calls, you have this qualifier derived on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you mean by that?
This could be, in principle, be implemented in terms of other methods.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But probably this is now that I have just changed one method that should be newly computed. Probably it's now wrong.
Well, then let me ask, go back and ask, could all of these then, almost all of these, be derived from a single method where that single method has a more elaborate filtering parameter mechanism?
Not all. Basically, we have a list method, list all ontologies. Okay, maybe even that. Maybe it's a very complex method that we say, list all ontologies. Optionally, if you just want to have one ontology, then we might get pass the ID as a parameter. And for each ontology, you can, in a fine-grained way, control what you want to get back. That's true. Then basically, we could squeeze all the methods for ontology services into one. Of course, not if you want to create an ontology, but just retrieval.
This is just retrieval, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're just pushing the complexity someplace else. Right. Rather than embedding it into the APIs, you're moving it over to the filtering parameters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot more flexible, right?
Yeah.
That would be very nice. Of course, you want to distinguish between the filtering of the ontologies and their versions and the filtering within one ontology.
Level of detail, but yes. Or the scope of detail, shall we say.
Right, but they're on two different levels, so you don't want to mix them up.
Right, well, the metadata would be a little different in each case, right? Or the filtering parameters, parameter filters, whichever, would be different. I thought we had a schema that sort of addressed that a while back. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing, Jill.
I don't think it was in this context. Now, are metrics regarded as metadata?
Metadata to what? Metadata to the ontology, to the repository?
There's get metrics for an ontology version.
Yeah, it's not in the sense, it's not metadata in the sense that this is stored along with the ontology, but it's kind of data that is computed from the ontology, so it's a bit different.
Is this about usage of the ontology, too?
Huh?
Is this about usage of the ontology or characteristics of the ontology?
Characteristics.
Number of, like they'll ask questions like number of classes, depth of a class hierarchy, maximum number of subclasses of a class.
Well, that would be metadata of the ontology then, as opposed to metrics on the use of the ontology or something else external to the ontology.
Yeah, true.
Well, it's derived from the symbols and sentences.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't expect that the person who, in theory, you could just make this part of the other query. But we're not filtering now. Now we're actually doing computations. And those computations should be part of the repository. Repository should have a collection of kind of standard ways, or not standard, but, you know, a collection of ways of evaluating ontologies. I think this.
And would they be executed when the ontology is submitted?
This kind of gets into the ontology summit, most recent ontology summit about evaluation.
But Ken, would these metrics be computed when the ontology is submitted or committed, whichever term you want to use?
I think that's not relevant. So that's up to the repository engine. It could compute the metrics and cache them once and for all, or it could compute them on demand.
Well, if you like, it gets back to the, whether you don't want to call it metadata or not, but the additional information about an ontology that is maintained by the registry. So if we say that this collection of additional information should also include these things we're calling metrics about an ontology, that might alter how things are executed or how things are done.
Yeah, but in the interface, it doesn't make a difference because
It
can use the same filtering mechanism. It's just differing in the implementation.
True. But that assumes that that metadata for, or the filter parameters for the metrics are in that, are available to be used.
Yeah, I think this has to be available. So we need to specify the minimum collection of metrics that any repository should provide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some echo, so if people are not speaking, try to mute their own phone. That would be nice. Now everyone is on mute.
Except you.
No, by yourself, not by me.
Sometimes the echo is caused by my VoIP phone going through VPN.
Between Ken and Phil, we have gone past 1 hour. Can we set up a target as to what we want to get out of this session, where we want to be, how soon are we going to sort of finish the API development, at least maybe to a stage where we could publish it for review or something?
Yeah, there's still additional items we need to go through, but so why don't we switch topics for the moment and ask, how are we going to publish this API? One suggestion that was made was to use this OMG, interface definition language.
OMG.
Till, I believe, Till, you mentioned that.
Yeah, I was at the OMG meeting last week, and actually there was a talk where this interface definition language was mentioned, and so I first had my reservation. So Nick Stavros actually recommended me to use this, and I thought that this is coupled with CoreBar and White Complex and so on, but he told me that they just have decoupled this from CoreBar in the latest version. And the advantage over WSDL is that it's not XML-based, but it's a kind of programming language or OWL Manchester syntax-like notation. And so easier to read and to maintain.
But you can derive it from
yes, that's actually what Nick Stavros told me. And there, so currently IDL 3.5 is in beta and not freely available, but once this has been released, OMG standards are always freely available. So I think it's only during this process. And I can send you the current beta.
The important thing is that they get a lot of buy-in to that. I assume where they came from is that would be more acceptable or more familiar to to the software development community. Do they get a lot of buy-in, or do they reckon, or do we reckon that that is the way that we should approach it? I totally agree. We should get closer to the software development community.
Yeah, I unfortunately I haven't seen the latest IDL. In fact, Till, you're probably the only one. It would be helpful if you could get that to us so that we could look it over. But I think it would be a good idea to do that. The only question is who's going to do it. That's something of a project on its own right.
You mean to write our API into some language is a project on its own right? Or?
Yeah, it seems like a big project.
So we in Bremen we will actually do something in this direction. So we will do some work there. But of course, any help appreciated.
So you're basically going to take that that Google Doc that we're looking at now and write it in IDL 3.5?
Yeah, that would be one idea, yeah. If we agree that IDL 3.5 is a good idea. I'm not an expert on that.
Excuse me, Till, is this IDL from Corba?
Yes, but it has been separated from Corba, so in the most recent version. And I have sent you a link with the document. It's not for public distribution, probably, but once it is a real standard beyond the beta, I think, then the OMG documents are always publicly available. It's only the beta documents where you have these problems.
Oh, Peter, I saw your email earlier about access to the OMG stuff. And I just discovered today that Raytheon is no longer a member, so I couldn't get it for you.
It looks like Till already sent me a copy.
I have posted a link onto the chat where you can get it. But it's a private temporary address, so just that you can read it now.
Thank you.
Module? Is this module?
Peter?
Yes?
Back to your question.
Terms
of putting something out for review by everybody, would this list of these methods that we went over today be sufficient?
When we say we are done, yeah, sure.
Oh, well, I sort of have to go, so I'm sort of done for today.
No. But when essentially Till and Ken agree that we've got a sort of satisfactory set of APIs to go to bed with. Yes.
Yeah,
but
I think
we
have.
But I don't think we're there yet.
Okay. In order to put them out for review, do we have to put them in IDL or Java or C++ or whatever, or can we just put them out as natural language descriptions?
Yeah, we can for these complex filtering parameters, I think it would be better to formalize this a bit. And therefore, so I would volunteer to produce an IDL spec of this stuff that we have discussed today. So not the whole API, but just some bits of it, and then we can have a look at that and see whether we are happy with that style of specifying things.
But is our choice between IDL and Whistle, do we want to make a conscious decision on picking one or the other, or we could do both?
Well, in principle, IDL can be translated to whatever.
Yeah, IDL can be translated to Whistle. So if we have the IDL, we also have the Whistle. The only question is what is primary and what is derived.
Till, has IDL changed significantly from its Corba birth?
I don't know. Sorry.
Okay.
But
I'm looking at it right
just
now.
Still, dissociated the connection. So presumably they've changed quite a bit.
No, actually, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
What Till just sent, and it's a lot like C++. For those who know C++, it has structs, and it uses the :: for namespace.
Well, remember when it was first devised, Ken?
What?
When it was first devised, the primary language was C. C++.
Right. I'm just saying from a syntactic point of view, it looks like you're doing C++.
Yeah. I see a few obvious differences, but even 2 decades ago, they had modules.
Right. It's pretty similar to what you see in C++.
So is this an advantage or a disadvantage? I'm not sure.
Oh, this is fine. I mean, it's just for those who
aren't familiar with it.
Haven't got a background in C++, you might not be able to read it right away.
But again, if this is accompanied with natural language descriptions, that should be sufficient to people to interpret it correctly.
Uh-huh.
And there is a translator to Whistle, so that would be good.
Uh-huh.
Because once you translate it to Whistle, then it's straightforward to translate it to Java, for example.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody wanted to look at it, somebody didn't really have a lot of background in C++, but they have used Java, then we could do that kind of translation.
Yeah, but can you do it in iOS?
No, can't tell you that. But that sounds like a good way to go. Once it's in a programming language framework, definitely I could, we could start coming up with projects for students to do. The students, I have a lot of students and they love projects and they definitely want to do programming. don't expect them to know ontologies, but if you give them a programming problem, they'll do it.
So that it's consensus that we will formalize with IDL, maybe so you might want to capture that onto the chat.
Yeah, and unless, is there another alternative beyond IDL and WSDL?
There's API for KB that we also need to consider.
Yeah, but that's of course interesting, but that's only at the RFP stage, so that's a request for proposals, but there's no outcome yet.
Obviously that's not going to be a way of expressing this anytime soon, but we need to make sure that whatever they do hopefully will be compatible with what we're doing.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Do we know somebody on the API for KD group that we can hopefully act as a liaison?
So I have met Davide Zotara at OMG last week, and he was very interested in what we are doing. And I also invited him to this call, but he didn't make it.
He's spoken at an ontology meeting, one of the meetings.
Right, yeah. Ontology-based standards.
At the ontology-based standards meeting, right. And he's already been involved in what we've been doing here. It's just we really need to involve him to the point where he could be a liaison so that we can actually coordinate, because otherwise, it's kind of, unless you're a member of OMG, it's actually pretty difficult to interact with them.
But this API for KB has this wiki where everything is available.
Yeah, they do have some material public, but they don't. You know, you can't get access to whatever proposals were provided to them. The RFP went out in 2011, I think.
Yes, or 2010.
Yeah. Oh, look, even earlier. So I'm sure they must have gotten some responses by now, but we have no clue what they are.
Right, and it doesn't, I mean, we're not responding to them, we probably should.
Well, their goals are broader than ours, because they're concerned about the instance data also.
Yes.
And we're trying to avoid that at this point. But certainly we should have an influence on them, since there's different ways of representation, different representation mechanisms. But as I said, I only discovered today that Raytheon is no longer a member of OMG, so I can't help anyone out.
But they are concerned with issues such as access controls.
Yep.
Who has access to the data? They are interested in the metadata level, so they also are considering using at the metadata level.
They want to use the OMG metadata model.
Right. It's not quite the same as what we mean by metadata. So for them, an ontology would be a metadata.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to have to go today.
As all of us, it's getting close to the end of the meeting. So so I think we have an action item here for Till to come back with this API in a formalized using IDL. And we'll begin the process of completing it and translating it to other forms.
Are we done? with defining the at least calling out all the methods that needs to be formalized?
No, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. This is going to involve a series of...
Yeah.
So can we map a plan on how far are we from it, what are the next few steps, and are we going to finish in the sort of target 3 months?
I would say the next few steps are discussing whether we like this style of API description in IDL, and then we can actually, as the next step, have all the Google Doc document formalized in IDL. And we have set up some guidelines today how to do this by saying we want to have a minimal set of methods and derived methods, and we should concentrate on the minimal ones first. And for retrieval, we have this preference of one very complex methods with a lot of filtering parameters. And I think if we restructure the whole document along these guidelines, then we will see how this works. And we do this in IDL, we see how that works, and then we are close to finalizing things.
Maybe one more. Can we put an action item for maybe CAN to do the gatekeeper portion of it offline, and then maybe the next hackathon session we could review that?
Well,
one of the things we would have wanted to do is to include the APIs to the gatekeeper, which
right.
We hardly have a chance to talk about. And I guess it's best if it would be great if Ken could do the groundwork offline, like Till has done, and for all the other public pieces today, and it'll be a lot more effective.
Right. If you can get me the IDL, I can get working on that.
But do you want to do it in the sort of pseudo natural language format first?
No, I prefer to do it informal.
Okay. Right.
With a black tie, right? Cux?
Exactly. And tails.
They're gone.
Oh. Morning coat. Hey, Ken?
Yeah?
Did you see the note I put in the chat box about, I thought at one point we had considered using the metadata as a template for the filter. For filtering, I should say. Well, we don't have to answer that now, but...
Each parameter in the metadata...
becomes a possible filter element.
What do you mean by a parameter in the metadata?
Well, what do you have? The ontology name, the language, the version, the authors. I don't remember all the things that are in the metadata for an ontology.
Yes, all of those would be filter.
Possible filters.
Filter criteria.
Yeah, okay. We had considered it.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely an important consideration. You know, if you're looking for an ontology, you need to have that ability.
No, but I meant in the parameter, the set of filter parameters for the find method or whichever methods. That's all.
Right.
Okay.
No, exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, the problem with some of these APIs is that they hard-code it in the methods rather than have a parameter. It would allow one to extend the metadata that you're providing easily.
Right.
It's much harder to add new methods than it is just to extend an ontology.
I really have to go now, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, so
yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, what's the next word?
Is there any other business in the last minute?
Yeah, let's set a date for the next hackathon session then that follows this.
Oh,
I guess
yeah,
the next hack is still on the same topic until we're done. Configuration of this.
Right. But what's a good date for this?
9 is open. It says Ramadan begins. If it's not affecting anyone, then the 9 would
which
be
date?
A good date. July 9th.
Oh, I'm on holidays there.
Okay.
I'll return on 11th. So.
Okay, then July 16th then.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
July
16th. Same time.
Uh-huh.
This is at 10 o'clock Eastern time. That would be, what time does it start for you, Till?
4 p.m.
4 p.m., okay. Okay, then.
That'll be Hackathon 02, yeah, same topic. Until Hub Gatekeeper API.
July 16th. And same time. Okay, and Till and Ken will be providing. Okay, so thanks to everybody. And so meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Great session.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.